Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Shalom, saints. He is amazing, isn't he? Just say that. He's amazing. We know. We know what he has done in our lives. I've seen what he's done in your life. He is truly amazing. I want to thank you all for being here. Those of you who are here in the sanctuary, also those who are tuning in on iChurch, streaming in Spanish and in English. We want to thank our translator this morning, Alex Jancic, who's translating. I don't thank him enough, you know. They hear that voice and they don't know all the time who it is. It's Alex that is translating. So we are so thankful for him this morning. If you haven't secured a sword, you didn't bring your own sword. We have one for you. That is the word. You can just raise your hand. We'll provide it. Or if you have electronic devices, you can turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. We're talking about unleashing the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. The Holy Ghost is there. As a scientist, we called it potential energy because it has a potential to do something, but if you don't let it move, it won't do anything. And so a lot of times we put the blocks on it, we put the stops on it, but he's ready to flow. That's just the nature of Yahweh. He's just ready to flow. You know, we're the ones that hold it up. And so a lot of believers are not living in the victory, are not living in the authority, are not living in the power. And I'm here to tell you, it's time to start living in the power. That's Yahweh's best. That's, you know, everything that he has promised, everything he has provided is his best. And we're entitled to it. Tell your neighbor, we're entitled to Yahweh's best. Absolutely. We're entitled to that. Right? Well, I'm so unworthy. It's okay. He made us worthy through the sacrifice of Yeshua. Right? And so, you know, redemption is there. All the things that we need are there. And so this is what we were talking about. Now, I will be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Some of you may have a new King James Version of the Bible, and that is cool. You can do that. You can use that. It's an easier read, but I prefer to use the King James Version because it has the words that can be exegeted. It's more of the words that I can match to the Greek and to the Hebrew, right? Hey, there was power in that, okay. Did y'all hear that? So if you choose to read the New King James Version, you know, as an easier read, just understand that, you know, the words may be differing, but all of the meaning is still there, okay? Also, what we do is we love the original Hebrew names because last I checked, a name didn't have to be translated. You can translate a word, but a name doesn't need to be translated because it's the same all over the world. So that is why we use the name Yeshua instead of Jesus. That came in 1611. And you will see on the board that we still leave the name there, but we add the original Hebrew name. So don't trip. Don't think you like, well, my God, what are they doing at that church? We just seeking truth. That's all we doing. We love the truth. All right. So if we go to Romans, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse, And this is kind of where we left off last week. The word says line upon line. We study the word line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. You cannot take one scripture and run wild with it. You have to have, something that corroborates, right, what you're saying. And so that's what we do. That's how we study. So when we read Romans, the 8th chapter, the 6th verse, it says, for to be carnally minded might be death. What? Okay. Could be death. It is. And it says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So this is a definitive thing. Death is definitive. If you allow yourself to remain carnally minded, because you were born carnal minded. That's why kids' first word is no. That rebellious, I mean, it's built in. It's wired that way. But he has given us salvation through the baptism of the name of Yeshua and by the Holy Spirit to change that nature, right? To at least give us the power that we can what? Fight that nature. But let me tell you something. We were talking about this in ministers' meeting. You're going to have this flesh until either you transformed in the rapture or you transition to glory. But until your time that you have here on this, as Apostle says, terra firma, you got to deal with this flesh. And guess what? The flesh remains the flesh. But he has given us these transformed, perfect spirits. And as long as you feed your spirit, the flesh can't dominate you. So you have a choice. Either you let the flesh dominate or you let the spirit dominate. Tell your neighbor which one of you. I had to pause for it. Don't answer it, but at least the question's on the table, right? You demonstrate. You locate yourself by your actions, what you say, what you do, that lets the world know whether you are carnally minded or you're spiritually minded. Now, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you don't have peace, it could be an indicator that you're not spiritually minded. Because just as death is a locator, being in life and peace is a locator. That means I'm in the right place. So do I have some people that are carnally minded? No. Y'all better be careful. I'm throwing curveballs nowadays. Somebody said, no. Do I have anybody that is spiritually minded? Listen, and check this out. We're not perfect, but we're striving. The apostle said, I press towards the mark of the high calling. I mean, I know where I should be, so I'm pressing towards that. But if you ain't pressing, do we have anybody that's pressing? Yes, I'm pressing. I'm pressing, right? So listen, we know you got all of these external circumstances, external things, situations, and other things, but you got to let the Spirit dominate. And that's what he's saying. Listen, I've given you this life. I've given you this power. I've given you this authority. Just let that dominate. If you let that dominate, that's why the scripture says, let this mind be in you that is in Mashiach. You got to let the transformation take place. Because you're the only one that can hold you back. And a lot of times we try to point blame what they said and they doing. It ain't about they. It's about you. It's your relationship with Yahweh. That's what I was saying last week. I ain't going to let nobody stop me from my relationship with Yahweh. Right? I don't care if you stepped on my toe or whatever. I'm not going to stop coming to the house just because, you know,
Because when I get to glory, y'all be gonna, I'm gonna be like, well, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so did, and he gonna say, what did that have to do about you and my relationship? Right? And like so it said last week, just to bring you up to date, I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, well, I need the done. Who needs the done? I need the done. All right. So it kind of brings you where we're talking about letting this dominate. So it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Seventh verse, because the carnal mind is an enemy or enmity. It's an enemy against Yahweh. For it is not subject to the law. It's not subject to the word of Yahweh. It don't want to do the word. Your flesh don't want to do the word. That's why you have to force yourself to get up this morning. Right? Because, hey, you know, the bed feels good on Sunday morning. I mean, I'm telling you, that is some of the best sleep. I can't get that sleep during the week. So the enemy knows. He's like, okay, he's fanning. He make the bed just a little bit warmer. Right? He makes the sleep just a little bit deeper. So then when you try to pull yourself out, because listen, saints, I'm not bragging, but I got to be here at 5:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. I got to be. I got stuff to do. You know, I got worship to do, I get ready for, message, all that stuff, right? So enemy is still on my head. I got a snooze button on my watch. Oh, yeah. And it gives me about 9 minutes. Well, I hit it about 3 or 4 times. Because listen, once you get, so the flesh don't want to pop up. But see, if you let the spirit dominate, hey, when you roll out of that bed, the spirit said, hey, come on, let's go. Hey. And you have a choice. Either you're going to go with the spirit or you're going to lay back in the bed with the flesh. Say, I got the choice. So, you know, it takes, some of y'all are morning people, so maybe you just pop up. Maybe you pop up perky. I'm not a morning person, but I know what I gotta do, right? Wait, let me just take a poll. Who's a morning person? Okay. Who's not a morning person? Yes, all right, we win. I don't see how y'all can just pop up perky. I find it difficult. I'm not wired that way. All the more reason why I need the power of the Holy Ghost to roll me out of that bed in the morning. So the carnal man is enemy. It's enmity. It is not subject to the law, neither can it be. That's the flesh. So the eighth verse is the kicker. So then, they that are in the flesh can maybe please God. They cannot. That's a definitive statement. You can't maybe it, you can't massage it to be anything other than it's not. So then we go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And so, man, it's a choice. When you realize that the choice is yours, let me say something. Devil can't make you do nothing. The devil can only suggest. The enemy can only suggest. And depending on your state of mind, whether you're carnally minded or you're allowing your spirit, yourself to be spiritually minded, will determine how you decide to take that suggestion. I have a thing called it's just, in my opinion, it's the entertainment rule, where if you think on something for about 5 seconds, you've pretty much committed yourself to it. 5 seconds. So for instance, you know, any brothers in the house? Any brothers in the house? Kings, brothers. Right. Well, guess what? You have man flesh. So when a young lady, maybe an old lady, I don't know, whatever you do, walk by, you may, you know, because it's a reflex of the flesh. So sisters, give the brother a benefit of the doubt. If he happened to, look, it's a flesh reaction, right? Because what? We're living in the flesh. And if we're men, it's men's flesh. So we're like, you know, oh, okay. Now, if, okay, and I'm not gonna fault you for that. Because the Spirit should kick in and say, brother, turn the other way. Especially before your spouse or your girlfriend see that you. Holy Ghost say, all right, now, that's enough. Holy Spirit talk to you like that. He say, okay, now, that's it. And you just going about your business. But if you. That's more than 3 seconds, you're done. But who controls that? You. You choose to look away. I give you that first quarter second. Everything after that is on you, right? So when we go here to Hebrews 11 chapter, the sixth verse, remember what we just talked about in Romans 8, Hebrews 11, or if you're a Hebrew scholar, Hebrews is what? Ivrim. But without faith, it is possible. Impossible? To please him. For he that cometh to Yahweh must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that. So, Romans 8:8 said, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please him. And then Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So now we have these two states. If you're in the flesh, you can't please him. And if you don't have faith, you can't please him. So therefore, to please him, you must be in faith. So, this is the nugget. Either you're in faith or you're in flesh. Faith is you just living out this thing, believing that he is and that he is a rewarder. He's a rewarder to them that sometimes seek him. Diligently seek him, right? Any diligent seekers? Man, I caught myself. I was gonna say something else. You're diligently seeking him. So I say either I am in the flesh or I am in faith. So if you're in faith, you're doing this thing, right? So let's go to Galatians, the third chapter. Hallelujah. And this is what we want. We want him to dominate. We want the Spirit to dominate us. But we have to let it. So Galatians, the third chapter, the 13th verse. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. So Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the curse of the law is this flesh nature. And he was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he hung on the tree for a reason. He was cursed for a reason. He was cursed so that we would beat the curse and get redemption through him. So there is no reason why you should still be living in the curse. Because you have been redeemed, because Yeshua was already on the tree for your redemption. So everything that he has provided, you should be a recipient of it. He was cursed so he could provide something for you. So why are you living in a curse when he's already provided? So I want to live, you know, I want to live for everything that he has provided for me. I want everything Yeshua died to provide and he rose to uphold. Everything. And so that's why I was telling you about the story about Goldenberg chicken last week. And the lady had got her chicken. And we know if you get Goldenberg chicken, you get a roll and you get pickles with it. This was back in the day. And she had already drove down Crenshaw. And she came back. She had already gone halfway, a mile down the street. And she came back and she said, uh-uh. She said, excuse me. Do bread come with this? She looked in her bag and she had only the chicken. She didn't have the bread and the pickles. And she went back to get what was hers. So through Yeshua's redemption for us, I'm not leaving nothing on the table. The bread comes with this. My healing comes with this. My peace of mind comes with this. My deliverance comes with this. I ain't leaving it. Tell your neighbor, bread and pickles come with this. And that's where I left off last week. I'm not leaving that on the table. I'm going back and say, devil, excuse me. My bread is a part of this. My life is a part of this. And so when we look at this, he hung on the tree for a reason. For deliverance. Who wants to leave deliverance on the table? Healing. Who gonna leave healing on the table? If you don't have your healing, you better go get it. You better go get it, because it comes with this, right? It comes with this. That's why he said, are there any sick among you? Let them call. Why? Because sick is not a state that you should be staying in. If they're sick among us, you better get your healing. He said, go call for the elders of the church. Because that's a situation you cannot stay. See, the devil don't mind you being saved as long as he can keep you sick. He don't mind you being saved as long as he can keep you broke. He don't mind you being saved unless he can take your peace of mind. I ain't leaving nothing. You know, my peace of mind comes with my salvation, people. You ain't got no peace, you better go back and get it. Died for that. So the 14th verse says, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yeshua Mashiach, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How do we get it? Through faith. So what he wants to do is he wants to attack your ability to live in faith. He can attack your ability to live in faith, then you're not going to be a recipient of the promises, because you're going to be so like, oh, I can't. You know what I hate? I hate defeat talk. I feel tired. He said, let the weak say I'm strong, right? Let the poor say, I'm rich. One thing you will never hear coming out of my mouth is, I'm broke. Now, listen, I have been in the circumstances, say it, that I had $2.13 in the bank. But hey, I'm not broke. I'm not confessing that I'm going to stay in that state. Absolutely not. Now, let's not turn this around and say, I want a Rolls Royce. I don't want no Rolls Royce in the garage. I don't need a Rolls Royce in the garage. I just need some transportation, Father. I don't need it. You know, we can just go excess. We can just go overboard, right? Temperance is what? Self-control. Just because you got money don't mean that you have to. And guess what I found out? The really rich people, they're driving Volkswagens. A lot of them, you don't even know. I mean, just filthy. I mean, you know, they have their, you know, the Maybach or whatever. But sometimes they drive in Prius every day. That's how they keep their money. See, y'all need to learn how to, when Yahba give you some money, you need to learn how to keep it. You got to be good stewards over that, right? So, yeah, you know, there was a time, you know, well, you know, every so often, you know, you'll get a minus 13 or a dollar, you know, you overdrawn. Anybody, well, no, don't raise your hand. But, you know, sometimes we done too much. We done the most. And it's minus $43.15 in the bank. But what you go? How you going to respond to that? You going to say I'm broke? Or you going to say Yahba will provide? Hey, come on. Yahba will provide. So don't let those words, let words of defeat come out of your mouth. Don't let negativity come out of your mouth. That's what Yahba knew. He said, so let the poor say I'm rich, let the weak say I'm strong. Because he knew there'd be those moments. So I'm going to give you like 2 seconds to like, you know, consider your situation. Because sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. You look at that bank account and I'll give you 2 seconds to you kind of be depressed about that. Just 2. But then let the Holy Ghost kick in and say, come on. Don't worry about that. Don't let that bank account dictate what I can do for you. Right? So pull yourself out of that. Tell your neighbor, we got to pull ourselves out. You know, stop looking for somebody to pull you out of that state of mind. Pull yourself out of that. Because what you got, when nobody is around, you got Holy Ghost. Right? You let the Holy Ghost encourage you. I think that if we let the Holy Ghost encourage us more, because we're looking for other people to, can't nobody, let me tell you right now, can't nobody encourage you like Yahba can encourage you. So stop looking for somebody doing, well, nobody called me. Nobody cares. Guess who cares? He's the one that's there. So stop tripping. So the enemy, if he can mess up your faith, if he can put little stuff there for you to say stuff, if he can put a little challenge there to make you do something crazy, then you totally messed up what you would receive, the promises and the blessing. Don't let the devil, don't let the enemy, don't let the carnal mind, the nature, take you and rob you of the promises of Yahba. Right. So, wait. So, we said through the promise of faith. So, last week, if you're a follower of 3CLA on social media, 3CLA threw up this. Can we see that picture, please? This is what faith looks like. Come on. Ain't nothing there to the natural eye. But see, this is the walk. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things seen. No, the evidence of things seen. This walk, the faith walk, is a supernatural walk, y'all. See, she's stepping out the same way that Yeshua told Kepha or Peter to step out on the water, right? You're not supposed to. Nature says, circumstances say that you're not supposed to step out on a sure thing. But I'm telling you right now, Yahba's supernatural power of the Holy Ghost is a sure thing. Sometimes you just gotta. Ain't nothing there. That's all right. He got it. But the doctor said, That's okay, he got it. But I can't find no money. That's okay. Anybody trying to walk by faith? You got to do it. So then you get to the door. Well, my God, she done all that. And she still got to deal with the door. That's why Yahweh said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. What? Knock, and the door will what? Be open unto you. And then after the door is open, you still got to step out on the supernatural. Because Yahweh wants us to depend on him. That's the kind of God. Say, that's the kind of God he is. Listen, why are you wasting time trying to depend on yourself? Why are you wasting time trying to depend on somebody else? If we would really depend on Yahweh the way he wants us to depend on him, can't nothing stop us. Somebody say, unstoppable. Wow. Get that in your spirit. How do we get it? Through faith. Go to 1 Timothy. This is the nature of the God that we serve. This is the nature of the God that we serve. 1 Timothy, first chapter. And it's just, you know, I just read about who Yahweh is and what he does. And he just be stirring me up. He just stirred, because think about it. He's given us provision. He's provided healing, peace of mind, all the things. All you in here, you really don't have much to complain about. Because Yahweh has, if you really think about it, Yahweh has been what?
Good.
I mean, that's what you said in the worship. He good. He amazing. Then act like it. Act like he's good. Act like he's amazing. Nobody should have to beg you to praise Yahweh. You should immediately, when you think about him, just instant. So when I read this, it disturbed me. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, the 17th verse, and it says, now unto the king, eternal. This is attributes. Immortal. Invisible. Come on, wait. Think on those three things for a second. And now unto the king, we talk about Yahweh, eternal. That means it never ends. He just goes on and on and on. And he's immortal. He's not convoluted by the things of the world or the natural. He's incorruptible. Right? He's invisible. Right, because he's in, what realm is he in? He's in a spiritual realm. So why are you only controlled by the things you see and hear when you serve a God that is supernatural, immortal, invisible, eternal? And then he says, and the only. What is the only thing? Wait, hold up. Let's deal with only. Only means there ain't nobody else that can do the things that he does and has the ability that he has. And not only that, he's wise. You know, we don't give Yahweh the credit that he's deserved. Yahweh is unto the king. See, so when you just think about Yahweh, ooh, Yahweh. Yahweh, you are eternal, Yahweh. Yahweh, you are immortal. You're invisible, but I have the faith. Because I have faith, I can dwell on your level, Yahweh. Because I'm not controlled by the things I see. I'm controlled by the things that are unseen, the eternal things. Right? If you want to get with Yahweh, you got to get on his level. If you want to get with Yahweh, he's supernatural. You got to get with the supernatural. Stop trying to figure out stuff with your mind. Right? You serve a God that see. So it says, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. It is confirmed. It is established. In faith. I believe. Who believes that he's immortal? Who believes that he is invisible? Eternal. who believes he's the only. Then why are you looking other places to get your peace? Why are you looking other places to get your provision? Tell yourself, Yahweh, you're the only one. No, you tell Yahweh, you're the only one. I don't need to look no further. Do you really believe that? Do that one more time. Yahweh, you are the only one. I don't need to look any further. And I praise you. You only. So that's how we do it. So the 18th verse says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, and he can be saying this to any of us. The prophecies which went forth before on thee. Hold up. What is that? The things that were determined, the promises, the blessing, the purpose, everything that Yahweh has for you, right? According to the prophecies that went forth, the things that are spoken on their life, the things he expects you to do, the things he expects you to walk in. And he says that thou by those things mightest war a good warfare. Because the things that he's promised, listen, how many of you has he promised things for? He's promised you stuff. Who is receiving the promises? Right? How many of you know that those promises that he speaks for in the word is for you? Healing is for you. Peace of mind is for you. Deliverance is for you, right? These are things that are spoken on you. Your purpose, the things that he wants you to do, he expects from you. He expects you to believe that. How many of you guys believe that those things are available to you? Then why are we living beneath the promise? He expects us to anticipate and expect his promises. When Yahweh does something, I'm like, thank you, Father Yahweh. I didn't expect anything less than for you to come through, because you said your word would not return unto you void, but it would accomplish that which he pleases, and he sent for it. So it says, so that by those prophecies, promises, all the things that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. War a good warfare means you got to fight for this stuff, y'all. The enemy don't want you to have peace. The enemy don't want you to be prosperous as your soul prospers. He doesn't want that. But we got to fight a good, say, that's why he says, fight the good fight of faith. Tell your neighbor, faith is a fight. Listen, that picture of them walking on that, you got to fight for that. Every day, because the enemy is always trying to shoot darts. He's always trying to shoot doubt, right? But it's a good warfare. The 19th verse says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made. So your faith could be rendered shipwreck if you're not believing, if you're not standing on the things of Yahweh. What is shipwreck? Toe up. Knocked out, right? I'm not going to let the enemy put me in a shipwrecked faith situation. Healing is mine. Deliverance is mine. Peace is mine. All the things that he said are mine, are mine. And sometimes you got to get relentless. Some of y'all, he stole some stuff from you. No. He took some stuff. No, he did. It's not foolishness. He took it. He came in and he took it. But guess who let him take it? All the things that the enemy has taken from you, you have the power and the authority to go back and get them. Go back and get it. So go here. Oh, Father, second kefa. And to do second kefa, we say in the Hebrew, bet kefa. That's bet, second, okay?
Go to 2 Peter, Kepha, the third chapter, the eighth verse. Oh, Father. And it says what? But beloved, be not ignorant. Why are folks ignorant? Because they choose to be. Because the Bible talks about those that are willingly ignorant. Knowledge is here, right? And so it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, what does this mean? Yahweh's not on the same time continuum. Yahweh gonna come through when he come through. Right. See, you trying to say, oh, Nope. He working it out for your favor. So you gotta, once you give it to him, you gotta trust that he's gonna work it out, and he's gonna work it out on time. But your time is not his time. He works in the eternal. And guess what? Yahweh's time is always on time. No. You're not saying that's like you believe it. Say Yahweh's time is always on time. See, if you get out of your mind and stop trying to put time limits on Yahweh, Yahweh don't deal with time limits. He deals with what's right when he's providing it at the time that he needs to provide it. And you get out in your mind, and then when it don't come through at the time that you wanted it to come through, then your faith is shipwrecked. And it's your fault that the faith got shipwrecked because you gave up on it because it didn't come through at your time. You was like, oh, well, I guess he's not going to do it. And man, he was right there on the precipice, right there on the edge of providing. Sometimes we have missed out on the promises by giving up too early. And guess what? Really, it's no such thing as giving up too early. Don't ever give up. So the ninth verse says what? Yahweh is not slack. Come on. That means he's not lazy about this thing. He's not slack, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Repentance. Say, Yahweh is not slack. What he's going to do, what he said he's going to do, he's going to what? All he's saying is that, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Last thing. Go to Exodus, the third chapter. What does that sound? Me? Did I hop out of something? Okay. All right. Go to Exodus, the third chapter. I love Exodus because Exodus, I like to call it the struggle chapter. How many of you heard the term, the struggle is real? But this is the weird part about that statement. The struggle, is that me? See, the enemy don't, he wanna distract. But that's all right, I'm gonna keep on moving. The struggle, see, Exodus talks about the children of Israel, right? And in that struggle, they had tribulation. But the struggle is that you still gotta fight. Because the enemy's gonna try to present some stuff there to try to mess you up. So, but the interesting thing about this statement, now that I think about it, we say the struggle is real. Well, Israel.
Right? They were in a struggle. So the struggle is real. And is real. It's both. But I go to this book because his children are us. We're his children. So the struggle that they went through, we've gone through some similar stuff. right? But this is what Yah was saying. I just want to encourage you. The people of Israel are trying to hold on to their faith, even through tribulations, through bondage, through slavery. And Exodus says, 3rd chapter, 19th verse says, I am sure that the king of Egypt, or Mizraim in Hebrew, will not let you go. So I'm sure that the enemy, he's not going to let you go, right? His intent is not to let you go. And he goes on to say no. He says, not going to let you go. No. Not by a mighty hand. But see, we serve Yahweh. See, the enemy don't want to let you go. So he's going to try to discourage you, blah, 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 blah. But go to the 20th verse. And it says, I will stretch out my hand. And when I stretch out my hand, I will smite Egypt. And I will do it with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Do you believe that? Because see, death don't want to let you go. Sickness don't want to let you go. Oppression don't want to let you go. Problems in your marriage don't want to let you go. But he says, but if you just let me, if you just let my power come through, I will stretch out my hand and I'm going to smite whatever that is. And the way he does it, he don't do it regular. He do it with wonders. Because he's just a mighty God like that. And he says, I'm going to do it in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. So listen, you've been struggling with sickness. You've been struggling with depression. You've been struggling with all kinds of stuff. Just believe Yahweh. Let his Holy Ghost and his mighty hand work out your situation. And guess what? The enemy got to let you go. And what are you going to do? You're supposed to praise Yahweh and thank Yahweh for the fact that he has delivered you. And then once he does that, 21 says, once he lets you go, it's not done. He says, I will give this people favor. Somebody say favor in the sight of Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you're not going to go empty. Do I have any believers that believe what he's talking about? Yeah, I ain't going to let you go empty. I got provision. I got peace. I got all the stuff that you've been wanting from me. You got it. Hallelujah. Just like Father, I thank you. Thank you, Father Yahweh, for provision. Thank you for all the things that you provide us. We thank you, Father, because the enemy has no power. He's got to let us go. He's got to let us go. He's got to. He's got to. He has no choice. We are your children. We are inheritance of you. Every promise, everything that you said that is available to us. Hallelujah. We're getting it. We got it. We receive it. And we thank you for it. So right now, Father Yahweh, help us. Even in this teaching, and teaching us furthermore, that we go into, Father Yahweh, that we will understand, Father Yahweh, that you want us to dwell in your power. You've already provided. It's already done. And all our words should just be yay and amen. Because everything that you've done is yay and amen. Yay and amen. Yay and amen. So we believe you. We trust you. We'll step out on faith. We'll live it out. Understanding that to you, the only wise God who is eternal, immortal, and invisible, be all the glory and majesty and power, both now and forevermore. And we will always give you the praise. We will glory. We will always acknowledge you. In Yeshua's name we pray, Amen and Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just real quickly, if you would just bow your head. You may be seated and bow your head. I would be in error if I did not provide an opportunity for those who want to be recipients of the kingdom of Yahweh through Yeshua, his sacrifice. He was made a curse for us that we may obtain redemption. So maybe there's someone here that says, I want that. I want that relationship. I want what comes with that. I don't have peace of mind, but you said that my peace of mind comes with my salvation. I don't have joy. You say that joy comes with it. It does. All the promises of Yahweh come with our salvation. That starts with the relationship. So if you say, I want a relationship, we can pray for you right now that you would obtain and connect with that relationship. And all you have to do for us to pray for you is just raise your hand and say, I want that. I want that. If you want to start that relationship, if you want us to pray for you that you, your life will go a new direction, be transformed, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you for that. For that. Salvation. Hallelujah. Maybe you have had a relationship with the Father, but you drifted away. You're not close, and you know it's not the same anymore. You drifted away. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And if you want to restore that, if you want to be back in relationship, we can pray for that. And all you have to do is raise your hand for that. Restoration is what we call it. Restoration, restoration, restoration. He's that kind of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Okay, so this is what we want to do. Let's bow our heads, Father Yahweh. We thank you. Praise you. We thank you for your word that goes forth. We thank you, Father Yahweh, for all the things you provide us through salvation. So we ask right now for those that did not acknowledge the call for starting a relationship or restoring a relationship. We ask that you continue to minister to them. Bring them to a point that they'll receive everything that you have in store for them. So we thank you for that. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give y'all a praise. Yes. Yes.